day. This is Louisa Beale with Radio Tacoma, and I have the privilege of interviewing Jess Ballinger-Reed, who works at MultiCare in the COVID unit. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Louisa. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm hoping you are too.
I'm doing fine, honestly. It's
good to hear.
I'm just rolling with the punches.
Oh, and I bet you get a lot of them. Because you work at Tacoma General?
I do. Yeah, there's a lot of changes going on. That's kind of the only thing that was really affecting me up until recently.
So what capacity do you work?
I'm a health unit coordinator. It's basically a secretary. I'm the second or third arm to the RNs and the doctors. I'll page doctors if a nurse needs an item. I'm there for them. It's just really, I'm the helper.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm right there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was a nurse aide years and years ago, like in the 70s.
And, oh, my gosh.
We had what were called ward clerks, and they were the people who basically were at the desk in whatever floor unit we were on. Does that describe
that's
what
basically
you
do? Me.
Yeah.
I'm the front face. If someone comes up, it's customer service. You're basically family. I know there's no visitors now, but pre-COVID unit, visitors come up, you're the first person they can ask to direct them. Where do they need to go? Just simple things. The hospital is very confusing. And now with no visitors, I'm the voice they hear when they call, you know? Speaking of how the units have changed, it is the different units had to switch around to be in different locations in the hospital to accommodate the COVID patients based on the volume and the acuity of the patient, and also preventing a lot of foot traffic also, because it's in a location where there's less likely for someone to accidentally end up on our unit, that kind of thing. So that's the, you know, the biggest change right now for being a HUC. That's what it's called, is a HUC, the health unit coordinator. So the ward clerk.
Yeah.
I know it's an awful word, a HUC.
But it'd be better to have health unit general manager. Then you'd be a HUG-em.
I would really actually like that, but we can't hug anymore.
Speaking of hugging, do you have any patient contact?
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
None.
And do you wear a mask then?
I do. Yep.
Good.
I do. Even with limited supplies, you know, that's a whole other thing to talk about. Even with limited supplies, Good Samaritans are sending masks into nurses and CNAs and healthcare workers. So I've got a little variety of colorful ones. I do wear a mask at the desk in the unit, because I still have nurses coming out of rooms, even though that they have worn their protective gear. We still all really, really follow the social distancing and, you know, no touching stuff.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
I do. And you don't take it seriously until you take it seriously.
Yes.
You know? So, but I do wear my mask. We wear the mask as soon as we walk into the hospital at this time. In the beginning, it felt weird. Like it was, well, maybe this is too much. But it wasn't, and it isn't. No. It's really, really good to have it on. Now, it doesn't protect you from everything. It's just a little element of protection. Yeah.
Yeah. Because piled on each other with the social distancing and the mask and the disinfection, all of those things work together.
Yeah. We have specific employees that come and just wipe counters and all touching spaces, light switches, yeah, doorknobs, everything. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So have you or any of the other workers at TG been tested for the COVID-19?
I'm pretty sure that there have been nurses that I know that have been, because they may have come in contact with a COVID undiagnosed. Mm-hmm. So it's a, they had, where it wasn't, where you don't have to get tested at all kind of thing, just stay home and quarantine yourself.
Right.
Policy for a little bit. But then the volume went up. So there is a policy that if you had been in contact or with a patient or visitor that was sick, that you could get tested. Okay. I haven't had to, and no one directly that I know of specifically has gotten tested. They were just, they just were being extra careful.
Okay.
Because a patient can be, can come into the emergency room with, say, labored breathing, and they won't know, or all the other symptoms or the other keys weren't all right there until a little bit later, and then they're admitted, and then they go, oh, we just tested them. And so then the people that had been in contact with that patient would, you know, self-quarantine themselves.
Yeah. Wow. So is there a,
yeah,
is there a limitation on the testing? I mean, it seems to me that that is going to be the crucial piece in, you know, reopening everything, is finding out who is positive and who's not.
Right. Who's had it, who's already had it would also be a good one too. They all changed. Everything changed daily for a good 3 weeks, where everything was different every single day that you walked in. But on the testing, I think that they're coming back faster. Also, they're more local locations for the testing, so those are coming back faster. I really don't know what, you know, the policies that is going on right now, because I haven't been to work in 3 days. It could be different again.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how much you know about the testing. I mean, this is something that is much on my mind, because again, you know, in order to really start reopening the economy and businesses and whatnot, we have to have testing and tracking of all of these things. And until we can get, you know, some good, reliable, easy tests so that we can really start doing this, I think that's kind of the roadblock.
I think it is a roadblock. Honestly, also the fact that the test is so painful, I don't mean painful like shooting pain, awkwardly uncomfortable, painful.
Because it goes right up the nose, right?
Right in the nose. If you're not squirming and crying, you're doing it wrong. So people who were getting tested previous to getting bad, and the patients that, the ones that weren't actually admitted, I feel like they probably wished they didn't get the test done.
Right.
You know, because it's painful and awful.
Yeah.
So if like you said, if it was an easier test or something more available, we could find out who had it, find out faster everything, then things could be. But I don't know how it's going to change all the social distancing, if it's going to stay like this for a little bit longer, whether the tests or not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So how are you holding up?
I mean, well,
you're on the front lines. And that's got to be stressful.
It's stressful. To be fair, okay, so I'm really glad that I'm working. I still have all my hours. There are people without their jobs right now. Even my boyfriend, even my son, reduced hours. So super grateful. I'm on the front lines and I see things. and I hear things that are not, I'm not grateful for, you know what I'm saying, in the medical field.
Right.
And you have to talk to the families. That's the hardest part. But all the other stuff, you know, the financial stuff, I haven't had that complete and utter burden. So we're essential. We have our jobs. Or you're out of work and you're not in the front lines. But what holds people together who work in this type of job where they are essential is the people that you work with. It is the community that supports you. It's knowing that that's your job and that's what you're there for and you're proud of it. I'm not a nurse. I know I'm not, but I support a nurse. I'll run up and get anything they need, whether it be a blanket or a cup of ice. That's right. Supporting her while she's having her day.
Yes.
And then the community, the way it supports the employees of the hospital or any essential worker. There's restaurants and businesses out there delivering food to these nurses the daily. And that's so all of those are the things that make it easier to go to work and get through this type of stressful situation. Like I said, when I said there were policies changing daily, when we were out of masks and people were repurposing, all of that, you take it in, you're processing it. You're like, I know this isn't great. This isn't the best ever, but you just keep going. You keep doing what you have to do.
Right.
And then all the little things like people making the masks, those just make it easier. So you hit that little roadblock and then something else pleasant happens. They close down the kitchen, not closed it, but everything's very limited at the cafeteria. So you're working your 3 days in a row, all 12-hour shifts, and you can't just run down and get some cheese fries or whatever. So instead, now people are delivering food. So everything that has a bad, there's always something that's kind of making it workable.
Yeah.
I don't know if I went off on the tangent there, but.
No. Are you seeing stress in your coworkers?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. When you're talking to a family member and you know that the family member cannot come and visit, that's stress. Yeah. Also, the mask situation or the PPE situation, that was very stressful. It's kind of transitioned a bit more now. It's not quite where everyone is just like frowning. Yeah. We're just almost used to it at this point. When you're a nurse or even a CNA or the PT, the physical therapist that goes in, it's just about your community, your coworkers that makes you get through the day. And then, just friends. That if you work with someone for that long and you know them. What's funny is that even you make friends really, really fast too when you're in the healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
So the unit is a newly separate unit from everything else, like I said. And the nurses that are being floated to that unit are from all over the hospital, different units that they hadn't even met before. And they're instantly thrown into the situation and they're automatically teammates just like that. I'm on five, or I'm from five, or I'm from six, or I'm from the emergency room, or I'm from seven. And you're instantly a bond that you're working there for, like the pandemic. I mean, without being overly dramatic. The heroes are these people working in the COVID unit. It's yep. It's real.
Yeah. Oh, that's you know? For sure. Yeah. That's for sure. And, you know, yeah. I've heard horror stories from like hospitals in New York City where, one was again with the lack of this personal protective equipment. You know, they kind of have to make it last the whole shift. And one doctor was saying that he made sure that he ate before and didn't drink anything so he wouldn't have to take off his equipment to eat or go to the bathroom, you know, for eight and a half hours.
So, we were almost going to do that into our that unit, and I was just like, oh, that's going to be bad. I need to have my coffee. Because, you know, but luckily this unit isn't like that. I see some videos and stuff like that from New York. I don't overindulge in the media for that reason.
I'm a wise woman. Yeah.
Try to stay in my own mind. But the one thing that I was going to tell you is COVID, it's hitting different places at different times.
Uh-huh.
And I have family in Alabama, not my kid's grandmother. She had a bronchial infection, 2 weeks ago. Ooh. 3 weeks ago, anyways, my nephew actually got COVID, got tested, and she decided that she would care for him, and then she got COVID.
Oh.
Within a week's time, she passed.
Oh.
She did not make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my children's grandmother, which we haven't seen her in a long time, but she died yesterday.
Wow. Wow.
From COVID. And as safe as I feel here, and I know that I'm doing, and I'm working at the hospital.
Right.
Safe as I am here, because we're doing all the right things, the social distancing, the clean, the changing the uniform. I'm safe in the hospital, and others at Walmart aren't. So it's like, it's a real mind-blowing thing. Because I can't believe it. Like, really? Yeah. And it really, really affects you because you're like, wow, this is super real.
Yeah. So. That's an amazing observation, you know? And again, the contrast between kind of you being in the thick of things and then someone thinking, oh, I'll just take care of people without that kind of protection. That's how it spreads. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, it is. And
so are you seeing a decrease in the number of cases that's coming through your unit?
I can't speak to that personally. I do use the Pierce County Health Department statistics. I do know that there are patients that discharge from the COVID unit. So a decrease in the amount admitted, I couldn't.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, put a number on it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because again, you know, those are statistics for the, you know, statisticians to do.
Right. I think less if you're just talking a feel for, I think less. Uh-huh. I think that it's been over the hump. We set up two separate units that were full, and you know, of course, Good Sam, they were set up also. Yeah, I think less.
Okay.
I just think it's because Washington did do the right thing. They shut it down. They, you know, made people go home, stay home.
Yeah.
I think that helped a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about doing this, all of this, these measures to flatten the curve, which to me means that the cases, they, even though they're increasing at a slower pace.
Yeah.
And, you know, so from what I've been reading as far as statistics, I think that's happening. And it sounds to me that's what you're seeing at TG. So anyway, I also wanted to ask, because, you know, again, you go home, you go to work, and then you go home to your family. Are you taking precautions there?
Yes, totally. My son also works at the hospital. He works at the parking garage. I made sure that he wipes off everything in his little cubicle, make sure he's changing his gloves. He's got a mask. My neighbor made his mask for him so he mm-hmm. could have his own. We wash the masks every day. Don't reuse it. Mm-hmm. My uniform is off as soon as I get in the doorway and I'm in the shower.
Oh, good.
When I get home, the shoes are at the door. We also have like those awesome wipes and we wipe those off at the hospital. But some people are changing completely, you know, the whole wear something in, get their work uniform on, and then leave in their clothes again and have their work uniform in a bag. That's another option. But I don't have patient direct care, so I don't have to do that. But I am still being careful when I get home. I'm showering as soon as I get home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my steering wheel, and basically, you know, another way COVID can be transmitted is like sharing silverware and plates and cups and stuff. So I'm still just careful. Mm-hmm. I know that I haven't physically been exposed. Well, I am exposed every day, but but not actually touching a patient who has had COVID. So
exactly.
I'm just, yeah.
Wow.
Are you? Are you being extra careful?
Well, I'm basically staying home, you know? Yeah, I've not gone to the store. We get food delivered. The only thing that I did, you might get a kick out of this, is that I did go up to Seattle last Friday, and I participated in an art car caravan. There were six of us, each of us in our art vehicles, which are all painted and stuff glued on them. And I've got an Egyptian van, and we drove around one of these assisted living places up in Seattle.
Oh.
And we drove around.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
And waved, and you know, everybody was outside with their masks and waving, and it was a lot of fun. But again, you know, we were in our cars, there was no contact.
Yeah, but it's so uplifting, and whoever was there to see that makes me happy just thinking that they're happy.
Yeah. You know, it's like I feel like, oh my God, I can't do anything. Here I am, you know, I'm comfortable where I am, but, you know, I've got this sense that I should be doing more. And so for that, I mean, what can ordinary people do to help, either, you know, with you or, well, with you and TG and MultiCare and the COVID unit and all of that stuff?
So anything uplifting, what you just said was beautiful right there. There's some decorations along the hospital parking garage that people are just in love with. Someone set up a Hope Starts Here or something. It's just a beautiful decoration in support of healthcare workers. Someone was using chalk art and, you know, telling TG Strong and just really praising everyone who still had to walk in those doors, even though they'd rather be home with their family.
Exactly.
A lot of local restaurants have donation pages up for meals to be delivered. I thought that I was being, you know, clever, and I wanted to arrange food trucks to come, but this was right at the beginning. I wanted to arrange food trucks because there was nothing good to eat at the cafeteria. Uh-huh. Everything had been shut down. They were just, you couldn't, there was no self-serve. You couldn't make your own choices. You just had to grab and go. It was just a little bit, you know, less relaxing. So when you would go down to the cafeteria, sometimes you're having a crazy time on the unit whether it be just busy or anything, and you just kind of want to linger through the cafeteria and get you a little coffee and get you a little meal. Well, there wasn't that anymore. And I thought, oh boy, you know, we don't have any good choices. And I started contacting food truck owners that, but based on the fact that everything shut down, they couldn't make it work. So stuff like that. But, you know, even if you're just praising anyone that you see that's a healthcare worker or anyone that is still essential, your grocery clerk, they're still essential. Then to me, that's all that you could do. Stay safe, stay clean. You know, don't touch everything and don't touch your face. Being safe is good enough for me. Like, just nobody else should be getting sick. You know?
Good advice. Thank you. Yes. Well, you've inspired me. I think I'm going to go find my sidewalk chalk.
Yay! And then take pictures of it and put it on Instagram. Well, that's what it's all about. Social media. I feel like social media and the internet has been training us for this time in our life for the past 20 years. What would we do without the internet at this time? We'd all be going mad.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, online grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Zooming, Facebook messaging, everything.
Yep.
We have what we need to make it through this, at least.
We do, yes.
You know? We can't send pigeons.
It comes down to community and supporting each other in our community. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Wonderful.
There's a guy now in Tacoma that you could hire him to do a shout out, and he rides his bike by by your house. And one of my friends, I love it. So one of them is kind of rude and crude, but he'll do anything. And so I didn't even know it was a thing until another friend of mine, her twins were having a birthday, and I guess she hired him or somebody else did. And so she's got a video of him riding by the house singing happy birthday.
Oh, nice.
That's that to me. Yeah. That to me makes all of this mess just, you know,
wow.
Dealable.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're digging into our ingenuity.
Yes, I agree. Totally. Yeah. Wow. I mean, but what you know about me is that I like to go places and do things, and you know, you can't do those things as much.
No. But you can stay home and you can make a list of what you're going to do.
Totally.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I don't know. I think that you touched on everything about, you know, being a, I don't know, nothing, I guess. I probably would think of it as soon as we stop.
Right. Well, we'll have to do this again. It was so good to talk with you, Jess. Thank you.
No, that was great. Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And we'll talk again.